Hi, and thank you so much for tuning in to Sunday Morning. I'm Nathan Scott. In the studio with me now is a lovely lady from Carroll County, Tammy Black. She's the executive director of Access Carroll, an organization in Carroll County designed to assist low-income and at-risk families get access to health care. Tammy, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
So, first of all, can you tell me and anyone else who may not be familiar, how long has Access Carroll basically existed, and what sort of work does it do?
Well, we opened in January of 2005, so this coming January will be 15 years in business.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, we've grown a lot in those 15 years. We started out as just doing primary health care to address, at the time, an uninsured population of around 18,000 individuals in the county. But since that time, we are now a full-blown integrated health care clinic that provides medical, dental, and behavioral health care to today. We're serving around 10,000 individuals.
Wow.
But addressing anybody in the community who has any access needs in any of those three service lines.
Right. And you've been involved with Access Carroll for the majority of its existence.
Yep.
Can you tell me a little bit about what it was like being there at the beginning, and then some of the ways in which you've seen it grow over the course of those past 15 years?
Okay. Well, in the very beginning, Access Carroll, again, was founded with a need that was recognized by our Partnership for a Healthier Carroll County, an organization that collects data and then shares it with the community so that we can meet the needs of the community effectively.
Right.
So they recognized that a lot of folks were going to the ER to get primary care. So they said, hey, let's start a community clinic that's very unique to our county's needs and address those needs effectively, affordably, efficiently, and with very intentional partnerships. So in the very beginning, the hospital, our only hospital in Carroll, Hospital, now a member of the LifeBridge family, and the Carroll County Health Department started Access Carroll to address the needs of folks that were, at the time, uninsured, because we started out as a free clinic. Now today, we've really merged into a much larger organization, really because of the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
We've now begun accepting medical assistants or Medicaid recipients. The same folks that we were serving before are now able to receive insurance benefits under the Affordable Care Act. So the long and short of it is that addressing primary care is so foundational. It's so important. But some of the largest needs that we face as a primary care organization, we started out, by the way, our very first year, we had just over 400 individual people we were serving. Now today, we're serving over 10,000 individuals on an annual basis.
Right.
But we're serving those folks with very comprehensive, the primary care, the acute care, the chronic disease care, education, care coordination, connecting them to community resources, making sure that they have those needs met effectively and affordably, being able to connect the dots for them. Some people need things like transportation assistance. Some people might need understanding, why are they taking this medication? Some folks need a reminder call to take their medication.
Right.
There's all these different pieces to the primary care. But I will tell you, Nathan, that one of the biggest healthcare needs that we saw beyond just accessing primary care was specialty care. And within the specialty care, it was dental care. So you might think, oh, your dental care is nice. It's an extra thing. It's good to have a good smile, but it's more than that. So we purposed, just after I came to the organization in November of 2005, I right away just was talking to the team members, really volunteer-driven. A lot of volunteer doctors and nurses were helping the organization. And they were saying, Tammy, we really need to have access to things like dental services, because people weren't getting those oral health needs addressed. And it was creating lots of other body system, like somatic problems. Heart disease, for example, is one of those things that we certainly address by giving people oral health care.
Right.
So we had people coming in over and over and over again with huge abscesses in their mouth. And so we decided that we would build a dental clinic. And then we also thought, hey, let's expand this to providing services for those that are suffering with substance use disorder, another huge area that we're seeing even still today
right.
is not being really effectively addressed in terms of access, timely access to care. So Access Carol is meeting all those needs mm-hmm. to the best of our ability. We're meeting the needs of the folks that are coming to our doors and trying to be able to make sure that folks are they're educated mm-hmm. and they're well-informed and they can make informed decisions mm-hmm. and they are an active participant in their own health care plan.
So you mentioned earlier the partnership for Healthier Carol mm-hmm. as something yep. that was fairly instrumental in getting this whole thing started. And that's something I'm going to ask about a little bit later, the importance of partnerships within the community in order to make something like this work. Mm-hmm. But you also mentioned educating mm-hmm. people who come in, making sure that they have all the information available to them to yeah. make the most informed decision possible when it comes to their health or potentially the health of their family members who they may be making decisions for. What are some of the biggest challenges you would say in getting people who may not know much at all about healthcare from point A to point B, getting them ready to make the decision that may impact a large part of their life?
Well, the very first, I guess, step mm-hmm. is doing an assessment and bringing them in, not rushing them through an office visit, but sitting down saying, how are you doing? What's going on? Many times people come to us because they're in need. Mm-hmm. I've got this pain or I have this problem. But to be able to also say, hey, let's look at all of you. We're looking at person-centered care. We're looking at holistic care. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to say, we care about you from head to heart and teeth to toes. And what are all the pieces right now that are in need of updating, we'll just say.
Right.
And so we'll do a complete physical exam. We'll do some diagnostic studies, some lab work, some x-rays. We'll be able to talk to them, mm-hmm. find out how are things going at home. There's a lot of things that Access Carol has addressed from the early days called social determinants of health. How are you living? We mm-hmm. serve hundreds of homeless people today. So how are those folks sleeping? How are they eating? Are they getting 3 meals a day? Mm-hmm. And if they are, what are they eating? Are they getting hygiene, mm-hmm. access to showers, access to brushing their teeth? What are all those pieces that impact everyday wellness that some of us take for granted?
Right.
But other people, they've learned to be, I'll say, survivors mm-hmm. instead of thrivers. So we want people to say that, to understand that what they're doing, we can help mm-hmm. them bridge any gaps, hopefully bridge gaps, both now acutely and chronically, mm-hmm. to make sure that they are in the best possible condition they can be, so they can be good parents, they can be good citizens, they can be good workers, they can be mm-hmm. good community members, they can be engaged in the things that they want to be engaged in, they can go to school. There's all these things, because if you're not feeling well, even the slightest pain can sometimes just take over
right.
and grow into something much bigger. So we want to address those things from the beginning. We believe in prevention. We believe in screening mm-hmm. so that we can address things early on and then talk to them about what does that mean mm-hmm. and have the person have a dialogue with us, have a conversation with us. Mm-hmm. And we want them to be as much a part of their health care as they possibly can. Mm-hmm. We're not here to tell them how to be healthy. We're here to partner with them mm-hmm. to be healthy.
And worth pointing out as well, even though you mentioned earlier volunteer doctors and nurses, mm-hmm. and this is a nonprofit, yeah. All the people who work there are, you know, they're actual doctors and nurses. They have the
right.
qualifications. Can
oh,
you
yeah.
tell me about the sort of staff that you have there and what staff you have to address all the needs that we've talked about?
Okay, I'd love to. This is one of the most exciting parts of the organization. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned that in our early days, we were 100% volunteer driven. Mm-hmm. In terms of our provider team and in-kind driven. So we had gifts, if you will, from our strategic partners, the hospital and the health department, mm-hmm. Who embedded staff into the organization. And then we wrapped around them all of these volunteers, board certified, family practitioners, internal medicine, surgeons, mm-hmm. All kinds of folks who would come, nurses, who would come in and be a part of this care. They would volunteer 4 hours a week. Mm-hmm. Some of them volunteered several days a week. Some of them were in-kind implants from our strategic partners full-time. So there's a lot of different pieces to it, and I call it a hybrid staffing model. So we really pull in all these great parts of all these different people's gifts and talents, mm-hmm. and then we organize it into our daily schedule. We do operate on an appointment-based model so that we can make sure that if Nathan's coming in mm-hmm. to see Dr. Smith and Dr. Smith wants to see you again next week, we can schedule you to see Dr. Smith next week. So in that kind of scheduling process, the volunteers or the providers that are on site know that we're also organizing that patient's connection to them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just an episodic hope that things kind of work out scenario.
Right.
We're planning for success. So with those volunteers that we've mm-hmm. had over the years, and again, and now today, we've grown from medical only into dental volunteers
mm-hmm.
to dentists and hygienists and dental students, partnerships with the University of Maryland School of Dentistry and Hygiene, and many, many other partnerships in regard to professional academic people on site. Again, a very collegial environment where everybody's learning together. Beyond Medical and Dental is a huge behavioral health team. And these people do extraordinary work. Again, I had mentioned that we are dealing with a pretty big substance use disorder problem in our community.
Right.
On top of that is also a lot of mental health problems, mental health issues that we lump into a category called behavioral health.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to address all those issues under one roof as an integrated care team is both challenging and exciting because we're able to connect a person live time. We call them hot handoffs.
Uh-huh.
So if you're a behavioral health counselor, you're seeing a patient who today has problems with something in their, let's say they've got abdominal pain,
mm-hmm.
they can right away walk that patient down the hall and connect them to a nurse who can do a triage and connect to the right provider. Likewise, if a patient's sitting there for a behavioral health visit and they've got an abscessed tooth that's really taking over any of their priorities because
mm-hmm.
they're in acute pain, they can walk them right over to the dental team, and we can get those patients scheduled in, usually same day, to have that addressed and that need taken care of. And these are the kind of things that's so beautiful about a collaboration of different specialists and providers mm-hmm. under one roof and being able to truly address the person from head to heart and teeth to toes.
So if you're just tuning in, my name is Nathan Scott. You're listening to Sunday Morning. I'm speaking with Tammy Black, the executive director of Access Carroll, which is a healthcare organization located in Carroll County that serves at-risk as well as low-income families to get them the healthcare that they need. This is a good opportunity to ask as well, are there any requirements for anybody to come into the clinic? Is there anything that they need to have with them ahead of time or any specifications that they need to meet before you determine whether or not you can serve them?
That's a great question. So years ago when we first started, we really were targeting folks that were uninsured.
Mm-hmm.
Then as we tried to expand more healthcare opportunities in the community in the state of Maryland, we started accepting certain folks who had certain levels of maybe some piece of public assistance. Now today, we accept anybody with medical assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And Access Carroll is a participating provider in the medical assistance program. We also will serve care to anybody on a sliding fee scale, which means that anybody can come and access a service and that care is given to them based on their family size and income, annual income.
Mm-hmm.
So they can afford it. So they can budget and make sure that their health care is a priority within their family. The requirements today would include, where do you live? Are you a Carroll County resident?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any sort of coverage that we can also participate in to help you get extra and additional services beyond what we provide on site? And really, that's it. We serve anybody of any age.
Mm-hmm.
We're family practice.
And as I understand, you also were recently accredited as well.
Mm-hmm.
You received, if I'm looking at this correctly, the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval.
Mm-hmm.
I do not know what that is, I'll be honest, but it sounds impressive. Can you explain to me a little bit of why that's important to the organization?
Yeah, the Joint Commission accreditation is a major milestone accomplishment for the organization, and it's something that's held very importantly in the eyes of our Behavioral Health Administration in Maryland. It's a requirement mm-hmm. to provide the care that we're doing on a daily basis for folks needing substance use disorder and mental health treatment. But beyond that, because Access Carroll is integrated,
mm-hmm.
we are fully accredited in all of our service lines, medical, dental, and behavioral health. And what the Joint Commission offers is a standard of care
mm-hmm.
that is given guidelines for excellence. There are all kinds of policies and procedures and operation standards that make sure that the patients that we serve are getting the best absolute care, the best practices of care, the standards of care are being achieved and met. And not only can we say that, we document it, we show it, we have outcomes, and we're able to work with other organizations that are accredited for best practices.
Can you tell me a little bit, so the accreditation is fantastic, all the services that you provide, but I mentioned a little earlier, as did you, the Partnership for a Healthier Care, and that this is something that was instrumental in getting it started. How valuable has those partnerships, or have those partnerships within the county, been to you? Is this a model that you think other people should follow?
I do. I believe that we are as strong as our partnerships. This is there. Everybody is a consumer of healthcare. Everybody. And for all of us to be a part of a network of communication and collaboration and accountability is absolutely essential to the foundation of a healthy community. So one of the, and just to distinguish, there's an organization in Carroll County called the Partnership for a Healthier Carroll County. And this is an organization that was birthed years before Access Carroll was birthed, if you will, again, as a partnership from the hospital and the health department. They're a data collection. They look at the needs of the community. They do a community needs assessment. And then they share that data with other organizations, such as Access Carroll, the hospital, the health department, and lots of other private organizations and nonprofits, to be able to make sure that if we recognize a need, especially concerning health, it's being addressed to the best of our ability. And we work together as a community. But Nathan, I'll tell you that Carroll County is known for its partnerships. We are what I would call an anomaly in that regard. We have very strong work groups and gatherings of organizations, nonprofits, for-profits, public and private health, whether it's school, legal, our emergency services programs, all these different entities come to the table and really work together. Do we have all the answers to everything? No. But that's why we get together on a regular basis, and we intentionally look at what can we do to make things better. It's one of the privileges of being a part of Access Carroll, is I sit in the middle of public and private health partnerships. I can pull in what I consider the exemplary components of each of those models of care, and I can pull them in to provide this buffet of services for the people that we're serving. I mean, literally, if a customer, if a client walks in our doors and they have a certain situation, whether it's a direct healthcare need or something related to their health, like their living environment, their access to transportation, their access to education, their ability to find meaningful work and be employed, all those things impact our community at large. So we have what we call a no wrong door approach. Instead of saying, hey, you know what? We're healthcare, so we don't offer that particular thing for employment. Good luck. See you later. We say, no, 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 hold on. Sit right here. Let me make a phone call. And we connect that person, which is a warm handoff, to somebody in the community and try to set up that appointment right then and there, or actually put the client on the phone with that other partner. And this could be shelter programs, accessing food, accessing clothing, accessing daycare, whatever's needed beyond just an acute medical need.
And one other thing that I hear a lot talking to a lot of nonprofits as a part of this program is, again, that you oftentimes have a lot of nonprofits in the same area that will essentially all be competing for the same money and trying to save the same population, and how much they feel things would be improved if a lot of them got together to all address the problem together. That's something that you're doing currently with Access Carroll, in part through your partnership with the people in the county. And I would imagine, you know, having done this for 15 years, there have to be ways in which, you know, seeing either the partnerships in action or some of the patients come through, that it's, you know, at times can be a really, really powerful experience. What are some of the things about working at Access Carroll that have impacted you the most?
Well, there's so many things. I'm not sure we have time for me to list all of them, but I will just say I believe some of the the highlights mm-hmm. of the Access Carroll model and looking out into the community is seeing leaders come to the table. And not just for a short time, but there is a spirit of perseverance. There are leaders who are literally investing for the greater good for mm-hmm. future generations. And there's such an altruistic spirit or attitude that mm-hmm. prevails, in my opinion, that, yeah, we face challenges. We mm-hmm. have issues like any other community. But it's setting that platform, that foundation down so that you can keep building on it and building on it. And if I were to give anybody advice mm-hmm. to say, okay, there's so much need that everybody has. Instead of looking at things, you mentioned the word competition.
Right.
Competition can be healthy, mm-hmm. but it can also be very detrimental if we don't have the right attitude going into a situation. And so I think as leaders, we often make very intentional opportunities for ourselves to get together mm-hmm. and talk about what we're doing. Because Access Care is not the only entity doing healthcare.
Right.
We're not the only nonprofit doing healthcare. So we partner with other organizations that are doing part or some or all of what we are doing in some form or fashion mm-hmm. to say, hey, how can we partner? We'll refer patients to other organizations that are doing the same thing we're doing, but it's a better location for that patient. Or they might have something that really is a better fit for that client's needs.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will in turn do the same thing with us. And so I'd like to, you know, believe that we are constantly keeping that relationship and feeding into that mm-hmm. On purpose, intentionally, to make sure that we are using funds within the community appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing anything to duplicate unnecessarily things, mm-hmm. but we're really trying to work together. And I'll admit that's a work we're constantly keeping on.
Right.
We're never finished. It's never like a done thing that we can just close that page.
Mm-hmm.
It's a constant thing to keep that fresh in our minds. And why are we here? And who are my partners? And how can we work together?
Which is actually a great segue into the next thing I want to ask, which is that, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, in January of 2020, you'll be officially 15 years into the existence of Access Carroll. And, mm-hmm. of course, we'd like to see you go for another 15 and then
yeah.
even beyond that. What are some of the ways within the next 5 years or so that you would like to see Access Carroll grow from where it's currently operating at?
I believe that one of the biggest areas of need, of course, mm-hmm. I mentioned is behavioral health. I want to back up for a moment and just say
yeah.
that with regard to some of the specialty needs, mm-hmm. Access Carroll, in our first 5 years of existence, partnered with 84 community specialists, physicians. Mm-hmm. 84 physicians came together to make sure that our clients received the care that they needed.
Mm-hmm.
And Access Carroll made sure that we weren't dumping problems on these physicians. We packaged the patient's case.
Mm-hmm.
We provided them all the back information, the diagnostics, our assessments, what the specific need was, so that we could best utilize those partnerships. And I just want to say that's an important piece
mm-hmm.
to the development and the longevity of partnerships.
Right.
It's creating, a very collegial and supportive environment so that when that specialist saw that patient, they were being able to do to the best of their ability, the most comprehensive assessment in one visit
mm-hmm.
instead of coming back over and over and over again to get to the bottom line.
Right.
Does that make sense?
In that spirit of collaboration,
mm-hmm.
you're both making the other person's job as easy as possible
yes,
so you can be more efficient.
Yes, you said it. And so getting back to the question you just asked me,
yeah.
where do I see us in 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
It's further strengthening those relationships, keeping them going. Where are we at today? Now, I will admit to you, Nathan,
mm-hmm.
the Affordable Care Act had good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing some really good things come out of that. More people were insured more than ever mm-hmm. before. But just giving someone a health insurance card doesn't mean they've got access to the care.
Mm-hmm.
They may have insurance, but where are they getting the care? So we want to help make sure that we are a part of the solution, because there were also some unintended negative consequences with any program. You don't always know what's going to happen until you start rolling it out.
Right.
So we're like trying to always make sure that we're making lemonade out of lemons. And in the next 5 years, I want to see a stronger behavioral health
mm-hmm.
network in Carroll County. I want to see stronger access to services same day, 7-day-a-week services.
Mm-hmm.
Access Care wants to be part of solutions that our hospitals are facing. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many pressures on hospitals, and that's a whole nother story.
Right.
But I will tell you right now that hospitals in Maryland mm-hmm. are to be applauded. We are working so hard to address the needs of our communities, our population, population health. And Access Care is one of those organizations that our local ER, our case managers, our discharge planners can reach out mm-hmm. to and say, hey, we got a client who's in this situation. Can we set them up with you for at least one visit to make sure that all of their community resources are plugged in?
Right.
Those are the things that I want to see strengthened 7 days a week.
Well, it sounds like you have a lot of lemonade to be making, so to speak, in the next 5 years or so. And again, as long past that as you know, we can foresee, if anyone would like to get in contact with Access Carol or with you to find out more about what you do, maybe they'd like to get involved, maybe they'd like to take advantage of the services themselves. So what are some of the best ways to get that information?
Well, you can check out our website at accesscarol.org.
Mm-hmm.
You can call the office at 410-871-1478. That's our main number.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond just contacting us, mm-hmm. we need volunteers. You don't have to have a medical background or a medical degree
mm-hmm.
to work or serve or volunteer at Access Carol. We have so many far-reaching needs for our community. Number two, I will say that mm-hmm. Access Carol is a nonprofit, and we need donations.
Mm-hmm.
We need support, because what we provide to clients are very minimally, if at all, covered through sliding fees or insurance reimbursement.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the things that we do are way beyond that. There's just a lot of things mm-hmm. that's very rewarding, and I will mention that being a part of an organization like Access Carol actually helps you.
Right.
It helps the individual who's contributing. There's so many positives that come from being an active volunteer in our community. You not only see the value of helping a person, of saving a person's life, every little thing impacts something or someone else. It's a ripple effect, like a stone in a pond. And the ripple effect, I believe, is an enduring work that lasts way beyond, that impacts way beyond what we might see right now in front of us. It helps the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. So I would encourage everybody, mm-hmm. if you want to learn more about Access Carol, of course, you know, check out our website.
Mm-hmm.
But come for a visit. You know, we're open 7 days a week, mm-hmm. and we'd love to talk with you.
Well, Tammy, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate you giving this much of your time.
Thank you for having me.
Again, my name is Nathan Scott. I've been speaking with Tammy Black, the executive director of Access Carol. If you would like to find out more about Access Carol, whether that's just read about it or visit or even volunteer yourself, the best way to get information is their website, accesscarol.org. You can also find the phone number of their main office there. Thank you so much for tuning in to Sunday Morning, and until next time, have a great day.